to be studying in Nehemiah chapter 1. The title of the message this morning is In Case of Emergency. In case of emergency. How many of you guys sense that right now in this nation we are in a state of emergency? I would say not even just in this nation, but around the world. It seems like everything is chaotic right now. And it's concerning. And Nehemiah, we're going to learn from him as he heard the news of the state of his people, of the people there, the captivity in Jerusalem. It wrecked him, and it caused him to take action. And this morning, I want us to glean from this account in Scripture, Nehemiah and his life. And truthfully, I think when there's desperate times, there should be desperate measures. And we are in desperate times, church family. We are in desperate times. I'm going to start reading verse number 1, Nehemiah chapter 1. The word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass that in the month Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates burned with fire. So it was that when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the Lord God of heaven. We're coming up on the 20th anniversary of September 11th. And I remember that day like it was yesterday. I was sitting in my fourth period class over at AV High School, and my teacher got a call on the phone, and you can see her countenance just change. And she walked over and she grabbed the TV. On that time, it was the square TV. Some of you kids have never seen it, you know. Some of your teens don't even have any idea of this. And with the dial turning, everything, it was old school. And they brought it out on a cart. Usually, you know, on the days when there would be movie days, she'd bring out the VHS. My kids, if they saw one of those, they wouldn't know what to do with it. But anyhow, she brought out the TV. She turned on the news. Just in time for us to watch that second plane hit the second tower. And she wept in the classroom. And we were all concerned. And the rest of the day, it was a somber day. I remember on campus, I just remember just people were wrecked. I was reading a few years back about a passenger on one of the planes that were hijacked. His name was Todd Beamer. He was on United Airlines Flight 93 on September 11, 2001. Beamer was an account manager at Oracle. He loved the Lord. He was a Sunday school teacher at his church. And shortly after the plane took off, it was hijacked, as history will record. And he was able to sneak and place a call on his cell phone. And shortly after making a few calls, he was finally able to get an operator on the line, and he was able to tell the operator what was going on, and he began to share with the operator details of how they had begun, a few men around his section, to make a plan to reclaim the plane by jumping on the hijackers. After quoting Psalm 23, the operator heard his final words. He said to those men around him, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." The plane later crashed in a field near Stony Creek Township in Pennsylvania, and it did not hit its intended target, which was D.C. and the White House. We are in a state of emergency right now in this nation, where if God's people don't step up, where if we don't press in, where if we don't see a mighty move of God, we may have come to the point of no return. And I really sense the urgency as we see around the globe and in this nation, week after week, the headlines, week after week, the corruption, week after week, the destruction that is taking place in this nation, the foundations, I would say the walls of this nation is being torn down brick by brick. But yet the church, the one organism on earth that could fight back evil, that could make a difference, we don't feel the urgency yet. And God, I believe, is shaking things up so that hopefully we wake up. Nehemiah, of course, was a man who God used to reconstruct the walls in Jerusalem that had been in disarray for over 100 years. There had been other attempts to rebuild the wall, but they had all fallen unsuccessful. But Nehemiah, of course, was a man who God would use. And I'm telling you, when God wants to do a work, when he wants to accomplish something, he looks for a man or a woman and he breaks them. And then he uses them. The 52-day construction on the wall is still a miracle by any means of construction. And Nehemiah, of course, was not someone experienced. This is what encourages me. God isn't looking for a majority. He isn't looking for a skill set. He isn't looking for some special individual to use. He's just looking for someone who's available, someone who has a burden, someone who is broken, and he can use us. That brings me to our first point this morning. In case of emergency, we must ask God to give us a burden. Now you say, Pastor, what type of burden are you talking about? God doesn't intend for us to live under burdens. Well, I'm talking about the type of burden where we are broken by what we see going on around us, by what we hear in the world. We're broken by the sins of a nation, the sins of America, the sins of those in our neighborhoods, the sins of those in our family, where we are truly burdened for the lost, where we truly carry the weight of sin that we see around us, and we see the destruction. We see those in distress, we see those in reproach, and it impacts us. See, Nehemiah, when he heard about the Jews there, the captivity, how they were in great distress, he was instantly depressed. Now, I want you to understand, sometimes sorrow, sometimes depression is God-given. What was Jesus known as? The man who was acquainted with sorrow. Jesus understood sorrow. He understood depression. He understood the ramifications of people lost in sin. And I think the church, we've lost that. We go months and weeks and years really without shedding a tear for the lost. We live our lives going from pleasure to pleasure, from entertainment to entertainment. We never take a moment to sit down and look around us and to see that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few, and that people are being ravaged by the enemy. And it never dawns on us that maybe God would want us to do something about it. Nehemiah, when he heard about it, the Bible says that he stopped. You know, we live in such a fast-paced society. We're movers and shakers. We're always working. We're always doing whatever we can to distract us. And I don't think that's what we should be about. I think that we should take time to muse, to think. You know the word amusement? Empty amusement. What we are living in is a society that we are being overstimulated to the point where we are useless when it comes to serious things. I'm going to tell you this. Amusement is not what we should be seeking in life. Pleasure is not the point of being here on earth. And I'm telling you, what's happened in America, what's happened in the church, is the fact that we have lost the burden because we are going from amusement to amusement, from pleasure to pleasure. You see, Nehemiah, even though he would have had at his disposal much by the way of resources, being a cupbearer in King Artaxerxes' kingdom, this meant he would have lived in the palace. This meant he would have ate from the king's table. This meant that he would have had prestige and influence. influence and he would have lived a comfortable life. But I'm telling you, the moment that he heard of the distress and the reproach of those in Jerusalem, all that didn't matter anymore. All that he could think about, he had to sit down and muse and think about the fact that these people were left defenseless against the enemy. That they were in great distress. Nehemiah's name means Yahweh has comforted. See, Nehemiah was burdened, and it's God is near to those who are burdened for what he is burdened for. Do you know God loves your neighbor who's lost just as much as he loves you? You know God loves this nation, I believe it. And the millions and millions of people in this nation who do not know Christ, he's concerned with it. And what we are seeing happening around us is an indication that we aren't getting the job done. And it's evident that we don't care about it. Nehemiah, he's different. And he was concerned. I'm going to tell somebody in here this morning, you are your brother's keeper. It should concern you that there are people that you and I know that if they were to take their last breath today, that they would wake up in hell. God spare us from preachers, and God wrecked me this week about this, from preachers who can preach on hell week after week and never shed a tear for a lost soul. We've got to get burdened. Nehemiah, when he heard the news, he sat down and he wept. We've got to ask God to give us a burden. If you're here this morning and you don't have concern, you don't have a burden, you can just go through life without thinking about the state of emergency that this nation is, the souls in your very neighborhood, I'm telling you, then you need to get to the altar today and ask God to break you, to put a burden on you, a God-sized burden on you. I remember when God got a hold of my heart, and these truths started to take root in my heart. And I realized that every soul, every person that we lock eyes with will spend their eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. I remember just being on fire and just telling anyone who would listen. I remember telling my best friend at the time and just weeping because he did not want to receive Christ. I remember being there, and this week God broke, He reminded me of that fire that once was burning and how it's been waning even in dire times like this. And I had to get on my face and repent of that. God, help us to not be the type of Christian that we don't ever feel the burden of those around us. Nehemiah, he was burdened. Caused him to weep. But not only was Nehemiah burdened, I want you to see Nehemiah was broken. You see, it's one thing to have a burden for a moment and then go out to your car, go to lunch, you know, and just move on with your life. But it's another thing to be broken before God. It's another thing that to allow that to change you, that God to break us. And God never uses anyone before he breaks them. You see, broken things are the premium. I read this quote this week. God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is broken alabaster boxes that bring forth perfume. God does not see as man sees. He places a high premium on broken things. He prefers to deal and bless only things that are broken and people that are broken. And I want to ask you this morning, are you broken before God? John Knox was known to go through many sleepless nights over his nation. John Knox, carried that burden for his land. He had a heart for people, and it caused him to miss nights of sleep. And his wife would go in and beg him and plead with him and say, "You need to get some sleep." And he would answer her this way: "How can I sleep when my land is not saved?" So it caused him to spend nights in prayer, sleepless nights. And I'm afraid that we think that we're going to battle, and I've been saying this a lot, we're going to win this battle through voting booths and petitions and recalls and whatever you want to say. We're not going to win this battle that way. The only way we're going to see this nation turn back to God is through that brokenness before God. Just read your Bibles, family. God always uses broken ones. We'll start with our Savior. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus was moved with compassion on the lost. He would weep regularly for cities. And I'm telling you, until we get broken, a broken heart before God, a contrite heart he will not despise, we are not going to see a mighty move of God in our lives. Nehemiah wept and fasted over the state of the remnant. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. As he preached, he would weep. And I'm telling you, Daniel mourned 21 days and he fasted for the sins of his people. Paul said, "I would be accursed." Listen to me. Paul said, "I would go to hell if it meant for my brethren to be saved." Where is that today in the church? We don't come close to that. We think persecution is someone looking at us wrong if we're not doing what they think. We have no idea. You see, because in America, we've enjoyed so much of the blessing of God. You see, I want you to understand, Nehemiah was in captivity because 100 years prior to that, God's people turned their back on God for the same reason why we have done it in America. They were prosperous. They were seeing the blessing of God. They had become rich, and God had given them commandments. One of the commandments that they forsook that God gave them was that every seventh year, they were to not plant, they were not to receive a crop. But they continued on for close to 100 years, rejecting God's word. They were more concerned with their comforts and building up their portfolios. They were more concerned with having more stuff than they were with being right with Almighty God. Doesn't that sound familiar today? Oh, even within the church today, we don't really give heed to God and what he says. We're more concerned with our rights, with our comforts. We are more bothered by what's going on than burdened. My friends, we've got to wake up, or we're going to wake up one day and we're not going to recognize where we are at as a nation. And I think we're there right now. And God sent prophets to them to warn them. He sent men of God like Jeremiah to go to them, but they were stiff-necked. They would hear, but they would not hear. They were dull of hearing. They were obstinate people. They were stubborn. They were prideful. And let me tell you, this is the problem today in the church. In this church too, there are prideful men and women who will not be broken before God, who will never don the altar, who will never fast or miss a meal because they have gotten it all figured out. They've reached the spiritual pinnacle in their own minds. They're righteous. They're right before God. But they don't know that when God looks at them, he is not pleased. He sees that pride and he's rejecting them. And I'm telling you today, we've got to wake up. We are in an emergency in this nation. And if we don't turn back to God as the church, I'm not talking to those outside of these doors. I'm talking to us within these four walls. If we don't wake up, we're in for it. Nehemiah, he was broken. He sat down. He wept many days. We don't ever stop the partying and the pleasure long enough to feel the weight of what's going on. Nehemiah did. He wept many days. He fasted many days. Some of the saddest words in the Bible are found in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. "So I sought for a man among them who will make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Will that be said of our generation or this nation? that God is looking for a man or a woman who would build a wall, who would step in the gap, who would intercede on the behalf of the land so that he will not destroy it, but he couldn't find one. We've got to get back to being broken before God, shedding a tear for what grieves him. Oh, I've learned this. Brokenness is what attracts God to an individual. He's not attracted to our strengths. He doesn't care how much you and I know. He doesn't care about your experiences. He doesn't care about your past. He is attracted to your brokenness. Nehemiah was not qualified to lead this endeavor. He was just a cupbearer in the king's court. He had no construction background. He had no leadership experience. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't have any other type of formal training. But what Nehemiah have is what you and I need. He had brokenness before God. Real, genuine brokenness. God used him. Are we grieved by the sins of this nation? Have you ever spent a night in fasting and prayer over the fact that in this very town, tomorrow, babies will be slaughtered? I heard from a man recently that this is Lancaster, Antelope Valley area is one of the top in the nation per capita when it comes to child abuse. Children are being trafficked from here. Missing children, if you go into some of the stores that put it on the wall, oh, there are children missing from this area in the hundreds now. And we sleep just like everything is all good. Are we grieved by this? Are we grieved for lost souls? Oh, I was listening to a song this morning on the way in, and the line in the song was, "Break my heart for what breaks yours, God." Oh, if you don't have a burden this morning, if you aren't broken before God, you need to ask God to do that in your life. Nehemiah's brokenness led to something. It led to him praying. It led to him fasting and seeking God. So you can pretend a lot of things. Brokenness isn't something you can pretend. It's always going to lead you to pray. It's always going to cause you to put aside your needs. And for a season, I believe those who are truly broken, they will seek God in prayer and fasting. And this is what Nehemiah does. Many days he seeks God. And we must get back to what God has laid out. I know you guys hear this often. I know this seems repetitive theme. But I truly believe that is the pattern for personal and corporate revival. You can't show me any revival in history that it was not first birthed in prayer. And it usually starts in the heart of just a few, maybe even one. And this is what happened in Nehemiah's case. He was the one who sought God. And I want you to see that Nehemiah's brokenness and his burden, it led him to pray and to ask for specific things from God. I'm telling you, this leads me to the third point this morning, that we need boldness from God. Brokenness before God always will lead to boldness for God. I heard D.M. Moody say this, a quote of D.M. Moody. He said, "If God be your partner, make your plans large." See, Nehemiah, he got before God. He got serious with God. He got right with God. He sought God. So he had God-sized plans. He wanted to see God do the impossible. And it would have required God to do it, because Nehemiah knew that in his strength, no way he could do it. But how many of you guys believe in here this morning that we still serve the God of the impossible? I believe we serve the God of the impossible. I don't know about you, a lot of the news is discouraging, but you know, I'm also encouraged too, because what we've seen here in this church, I talked to a man after service and he came to me and said, "Man, I've been delivered of this." He told me specifically what he's been delivered of. I met with a lady in the prayer room And she's telling me about what God is doing in her life. And this morning at morning worship, it was evident that God was working in hearts. The altar was full. I'm telling you, God is doing something here. And I believe that we've got to press in even more as we see things even getting worse. And I know it may seem like, hey, well, something's got to break. And I'm telling you, what needs to break is you and I. And when we do, God can pour himself out on us, and the glory of God could be seen in his church, and we could see God do miracles. I believe it. We're not here to play a church. We're not here just to go to our grave having not any battles that we've seen won. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want, when the history of this city is written, when the history of this nation is written, they're going to have to give testament of a people who got on fire for God, and God turned the tide. Oh, we could be that people. God isn't looking for, like I said, some special candidate to do. He's just looking for broken people. And he fills those broken people with boldness. Oh, Paul often asked the churches to pray for him to have boldness. And you know what? Paul was a man who God brought him before he brought him before many of the leaders of that day. He brought him into Rome, and Paul was able to testify in front of the leaders of that day. And I'm telling you, if we're going to see God do something in this generation, we have got to allow him to break us, to burden us, so he can fill us with his boldness. And this is what Nehemiah prayed. He acknowledges God's greatness first. This is a great model for prayer. In verse number 5, he says, "The Lord God of heaven." This speaks of and emphasizes God's sovereignty. How many of you guys believe this morning that God is still in control? I believe that. This is why in the face of opposition, we can be fearless. Because I truly believe this, if we are in the will of God, we are invincible until he says we're not. Oh, I'm telling you. I know from experience, when God got a hold of me, we went down to the hood in Inglewood, and I would go into places where you can sense the demonic realm. I'll never forget one place I went into, and I went in there, and this guy, I promise you, he came out of nowhere, and he was tatted up from face all the way down, and he looked at me like, "I'm going to rip your head off. You walked into the wrong place." I just prayed a prayer, and I just kept walking. And kept doing what God called me to do, you know. And I'm telling you, it was like he was a statue. He couldn't move towards me. A few weeks later, I was with one of the guys from our church. He grew up in that lifestyle in that area, and he said, "Hey," I told him where I was going to knock. I was going back to the area, and he said, "Hey, Pastor, you don't want to go there. That's where such and such gang are, and they get points for shooting someone who looks like you, Pastor. You don't want to be in that neighborhood." I said, "Well." Thanks for telling me. I'm telling you guys, when we seek God, when God gets a hold of us, there'll be boldness there because we trust his sovereignty. We trust that he's in control. We trust that he has power. Oh, he is the great and awesome God. This is what Nehemiah prayed. He said, your power, your majesty, there's none matched to you, God. There's none like you. Great are you, Lord, as we sung. And he goes into that prayer glorifying God. And then he asks God for mercy. He asks him for mercy. And he begins to confess the sins of his nation. He begins to talk about how the nation had forsook the commandments of God, how they had become corrupt, and how they had not heeded God's warning that if they were to go that route, that he would scatter them across the nations. And we've got to get back. I think we need to start praying for this nation, confessing the sins of this nation, bringing up before God and interceding and building that wall and standing in the gap for this nation. We've got to do that. If God's people do that, God will see, and God, I believe, will spare. He will stay his hand of judgment. I believe what we're seeing in the nation right now is God's hand of judgment. After, hundreds of years of many rejecting God, God has finally said, okay. But I'm telling you, he will turn back. He will stay his hand. If we go to battle. If we step up and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, I believe God will heal our land. Nehemiah not only confessed the sins of his nation, but he confessed his sin personally. Guys, this is not the time in your life to be entertaining sin. Oh, we've got to do business with God in our lives. We've got to keep a clean slate before God, a short account, you know. When we sin, because the Bible says if we say we will not sin, then we are liars. We all struggle with sin. But I'm telling you, we've got to get back to an awareness of sin so that when we sin, we're quick to confess it. When you have that argument with your wife, you're quick to repent and say, honey, please forgive me. I mean, we've got to get serious with God. And Nehemiah, though he was in a palace far away from Jerusalem, he went before God and he confessed his own sin. And maybe this morning, that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to get right with God before you leave this place and forsake the sin in your life that you've been entertaining, that you've been making provision for. Because I'm telling you, you don't need any sin in your life hindering your prayers in this season. I'm telling you, I got call after call this week of people asking me life type decisions, life-changing decisions. Like, I don't know what to do. They're saying they're going to fire me if I don't take this jab. Another came to me and said, I don't know. My doctor's telling me to end this pregnancy because of my health. What do I do? I mean, just a few circumstances. I'm telling you guys, we in this season, we need to be pressing into God, every one of us, because I'm telling you, we need to hear from him. Nehemiah, he confessed, and then he reminded God of his promises. Oh, this week I've been praying this. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again that your people might rejoice in thee? I've been praying, God, you've promised that if we turn to you, that you will turn things around. And Nehemiah did the same thing. He said, God, you said that if we turn back to you, if we repent, that you will gather us up and make us a nation once again, and that you have the power to redeem us. And this is what Nehemiah prayed, and this is what I believe we should pray. Nehemiah prayed for mercy in the sight of King Artaxerxes. And King Artaxerxes had to release Nehemiah. He had to back what was going to be done, and he was the king, and he had no skin in the game. He didn't, even though it was part of his territory now, he could care less about what was going on in Jerusalem. But I'm telling you, because Nehemiah interceded, because Nehemiah asked God, he took it to the throne, I still believe what the Bible says, that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And I'm telling you, we think that we're going to do battle and turn this nation back by protests and other things. No, we need to go to the throne of God and ask him to turn the hearts of those in power. I'm telling you, we can't do it, but he can. God can change a heart. God can change a heart. And that's what he did. King Artaxerxes ended up financing the whole endeavor. Nehemiah was broken before God for 4 months before he had an opportunity to share his burden with the king. And let me tell you, Nehemiah was bold in how he did it. He stepped out in faith. I believe God filled him with the boldness to do it. He was willing to risk his life for this. And this is where we have to get to the point to where we're willing to even die if need be for God to bring this nation back, to save America, to save the souls of men and women. Nehemiah went into the king, and he was the cupbearer, and he went in and he was sad. He showed it in his countenance, and the king saw it immediately. And like I said, the king could have said, you're dead. I don't trust you anymore. It could have been the end for Nehemiah, but he trusted that God was going to move in the king's heart, and that's exactly what happened. The king asked Nehemiah what was on his heart. Why was he sad? Was he sick? And Nehemiah said, how can I have joy if the land where my fathers are buried is under distress? And the rest is history. God gave Nehemiah in that encounter wisdom and how to approach the king and how to and what to ask for. You see, he had no experience, but God gave him the words to say and what to ask for. And I'm telling you, Nehemiah got everything that he needed, and he was able to go back in the power of God. He said it, the hand of my God is strong with me. And he was able to gather those around him, rally the troops, and they begin to build the wall. And yes, the enemy, let me tell you something. The enemy isn't upset when we come and gather like this. He isn't upset when we even put on Christian music in our car. He isn't bothered by that. But let me tell you what bothers the enemy. When we get broken before God, we start fasting and praying. We start letting God fill us with boldness. We start going outside of these four walls and building back the walls, the spiritual walls of this nation. I'm going to tell you, that's what's going to get the devil's attention. And then he's going to try to send opposition. But let me tell you, like Nehemiah, we need to say, you know what? This is a good work. I'm on this wall. I'm not coming down. And while we're building, we must have swords ready to fight the battle. And I'm telling you today, that's what we need. It's emergency right now in this nation. We need builders. We need warriors. We need weepers. State of emergency we are in. What will be said when the history of this time is written? Did we stand? Did we do battle the way that Nehemiah did? Or did we just go on with life? My prayer is that we would stand, that we would be broken before God, that we would fast and pray. And I want to encourage you guys, we're coming up on October. As a church, we're going to start a corporate fast. And I want you to just decide what you're going to do, how you're going to join in on that. Oh, I'm praying for, you know, I know some people have health issues, and I know, you know, for some it is impossible. For those who are able, I'm praying that we have close to 100% participation, and that we would be broken before God, that we would seek God in this month so that we can start to see the embers of revival lit in this church, and so we can go outside of these walls and impact our world. That's my prayer. Nehemiah. We're still talking about him thousands of years later. And I believe it's because he knew the formula. He knew how to press in, and that's what we got to press into. Now, if you're here this morning and you're probably wondering, what are they talking about? What is the big, you know, fuss about, and why are they here? And, well, we're here because of one name. The name of Jesus, and we're here to exalt him because of what he's done for us. He saved us. You've probably heard through the songs this morning how he found us and he saved us. You see, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he made a way for us to have a relationship with God. He was our intercessor. He was the satisfactory payment for our sin. And this morning, if you don't know if you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to share with you how you can receive him today. He loves you. He proved it on the cross. And he rose from the grave 3 days later to justify everything that he said. Just this week, we had a memorial here on Saturday, yesterday. And it was full of people who don't know Christ, and God he just told me just to be bold and just to share the gospel, you could hear a pin drop, you know, as some of these tough bikers that were in here was listening to the message, and you could see, and I don't know about if you can kind of sense, sometimes as a pastor you can sense when God is doing something, and I really felt it, and it was just, you know, only God. And I'm reminded as I'm in those situations that God is most concerned with the souls of men and women. And if you're here this morning, God wants you to know for sure that when you die, that you will spend eternity with him. He loves you. He's you've not gone too far from him. You've not done too much. He's able to save anyone who comes to him in faith. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know Christ, today would be an awesome day to come to know him. In just a few moments, we're going to close this time in the service, and we're going to go into a season of worship, and we're going to open up the prayer room, and those who need prayer for anything, but especially those who need Christ, you can make your way over to that room, and men and women will be over there who will love to share with you how you can receive Christ by faith. And church family, I know today's message is a hard one. It's not easy to hear it, but I'm telling you, it's a needful one. I'm thankful for when God afflicts us so that we can wake up, so that we can press in.